No debate, no bias, just the news. Rostags with Zaka Jacob.
So after the huge pomp and show in Houston, where Prime Minister Modi literally sort of rolled out the red carpet for Donald Trump and pretty much, you know, explicitly endorsed him for a second term, very quickly, within just a span of 24 hours, there's been a bit of a reality check. Hello and welcome to the Brass Tacks podcast. My name is Zaka Jacob. Weeknights 9:25 on CNN News 18. So what's going on in this whole Trump, Modi, Imran Khan triangle? Well, from Houston to New York is a very short distance by flight. It's just about 3 hours. But it's just those 3 hours that took Trump to change tune. Maybe it was the company that he was in. Maybe it was because it was New York. Maybe it was because he was sitting with Imran Khan, who we all know has a bit of a personality of his own. But whatever be the case, Trump suddenly went from howdy Houston to hello Imran in New York with this whole offer of mediation out on the table yet again. This is probably, what, third or fourth time that he's offering to mediate on the Kashmir issue. The only difference this time is that he put in a caveat, and the caveat is that he's going to do this only if both parties want him to. All right. Thank you, Donald.
If I can help, I would certainly do that. And it will be dependent on both of these gentlemen. One without the other doesn't work if you're going to do mediation or if you're going to do an arbitration. But certainly I would be willing to help if both wanted, if both Pakistan, let's say, and India wanted me to do that. I am ready, willing, and able. It's a complex issue. It's been going on for a long time. But if both wanted it, I would be ready to do it.
Now, here's the problem. Trump knows that mediation in Kashmir, at least as far as India is concerned, is a bit of a, how do we put it, a red rag, a red line. He knows that India doesn't like to hear the M word, especially in the context of Kashmir, and more so now, you know, when the government is just trying to get the situation under control, ensuring that things are normal after the abrogation of Article 370. So far, touch wood, there hasn't been any large-scale violence. So the government has got a handle on the situation. But as we've seen in the past, you never know with Kashmir because things can get out of hand pretty quickly. So at a time such as this, for Trump to just go on and on about mediation when it was clearly and pretty explicitly told to him that, look, this is a bit of a red rag for India. We're not going to listen to this mediation pitch because it goes against everything that India has stood for the last 40 years. Why is Trump then doing what he's doing? Why did he suddenly change tune in the course of just 24 hours from Houston to New York? Now, there are two possible explanations. Number one is that Trump is a businessman and he's approaching Kashmir like he would approach any normal complex business deal. Now, this is a guy who's made a living cutting deals. Heck, he even wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. So he loves doing this. He loves mediating between people and cutting deals between people. So he thinks, and you could call it naive, you could call it, you know, completely short-sighted, but this is what he thinks. He thinks that Kashmir is just another business deal and he will be able to do what, you know, wiser men before him couldn't. Now, that's a very simplistic and slightly naive explanation. The other more plausible explanation is this, that Trump just likes to say what the person in front of him likes to hear. In this case, it was Imran Khan, so he said nice things about Imran Khan, you know, praising him effusively, saying Pakistan's going in the right direction, he's a great leader, so on and so forth. You just rewind the tape 24 hours before that, and he said pretty much the exact same things about Prime Minister Modi. Now, you got to think that the guy has to be schizophrenic at some level to be saying the exact same things about two world leaders who are daggers drawn, and the relationship between their countries is probably at the lowest it's been in many years that it is currently. So Trump, that's his behavior. That's the nature of how he speaks. He likes to say stuff which the person in front of him likes to hear. Also, the strategic reason, there is more or less reason now than the first time when he offered to mediate, and that is that Trump is sold into this narrative that somehow the Pakistanis can get the Taliban to the negotiating table to try and find some kind of a peace deal in Afghanistan. Now, even though just earlier this month, the same Trump called off those talks because he felt the Taliban was behind the killing of an American soldier, and they did this, according to Trump, only to increase their bargaining position or increase their leverage in the talks, I don't think he has quite given up on peace talks with the Taliban or given up on Pakistan's ability or its leverage to get the Taliban to the negotiating table. The only problem is that Pakistan itself has such a diabolical record when it comes to the question of terror, like Prime Minister Modi put it in his rally in Houston.
America mein 9/11 ho ya Mumbai mein 26/11 ho uske saazishkarta kahan paaye jaate hain. अब समय आ गया है कि आतंकवाद के खिलाफ और आतंकवाद को बढ़ावा देने वालों के खिलाफ निर्णायक लड़ाई लड़ी जाए. मैं यहां पर जोर देकर कहना चाहूंगा कि इस लड़ाई में प्रेसिडेंट ट्रंप पूरी मजबूती के साथ आतंक के खिलाफ खड़े हुए हैं.
Now the thing is, to be fair, to give the benefit of the doubt, Pakistan has lost a lot of its civilians. I think 30,000-40,000 plus civilians have been killed. Pakistanis have been killed in the war on terror since it began in 2001. Now the problem is, one would give Pakistan some amount of, let's say, for want of a better phrase, benefit of the doubt, but the only problem, the single biggest thing that stands out, which completely, you know, mars and tarnishes Pakistan's so-called record as a frontline ally on the war on terror, is what happened in May 2011 when Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, was found in a military garrison compound in a town called Abbottabad, which is barely, what, less than 100 kilometers from Islamabad, the capital. That one image, that one development continues to linger and continues to haunt Pakistan for the last 6-7 years now since the death of Osama bin Laden. And the Pakistan Prime Minister had a rather tiresome, if not outright duplicitous, explanation for why Osama was found where he was found.
There has been an investigation, but as far as I know, the Abbottabad Commission sat down and I don't know what the conclusion was. The Pakistani army, ISI, trained Al-Qaeda and all these groups to fight in Afghanistan. There were always links between Pakistan. There had to be links because they trained them. After 9/11, when we did a 180-degree turn and went after those groups, you know, not everyone agreed with us.
Now, that is a straight lie. What Imran Khan just said is a straight lie because the Abbottabad Commission report is a public document. All you need to do is to go to Google and just type Abbottabad Commission report. And no, the report does not blame the Pakistan army or any of the military establishment folks for hiding Osama. It just feigns ignorance. It just says, we don't know. We don't know how he landed up there. Now, just like the Pakistan Prime Minister, who is trying to feign ignorance on why the world's most dreaded man was found in his country. Now, this is a peculiar Pakistani phenomenon where you have the record on the one hand, you have this hard evidence of Osama having been discovered, and yet they can feign ignorance, they can pretend like it didn't happen, they can look the other way till kingdom come. One other thing that the whole world is feigning ignorance about, or let's say looking the other way, is the issue of climate change. So it's got to a situation now where kids, and in particular a 14-year-old schoolgirl from Sweden, has gone all the way by a yacht from her native country to the United States, gone to New York. She's spoken at the UN Climate Summit. And it's taken a 14-year-old to remind global leaders, Trump and Modi and Imran Khan and Boris Johnson and what have you, it's taken a 14-year-old to remind these global leaders, the who's who, that look, they need to do their job. And we, the planet, we don't have much time or options in fighting climate change.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering, people are dying, entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
Now, that's the kind of maturity that we hope to see in world leaders. Certainly, a first step can be if people like Trump get out of this whole circle of denial that climate change is a hoax or climate change is fake and it doesn't happen, or the other denial that, hell, you know, how bad can it be? We're still surviving. People have been warning about climate change for the last 50 years, and what the heck? We're still okay. We're still dealing with the world as it is. So the problem with both of these denials is when the problem is going to hit home, it's going to hit home pretty quickly. And folks who are global leaders right now are not going to be around. It's actually folks like Greta Thunberg who are going to be around when climate change gets real. So we can't afford that kind of procrastination by our global leaders. And more than anybody else, I think it's school kids. If you saw what happened last Friday, where school kids from Melbourne to Tokyo to Moscow, New Jersey, New Delhi, you name it, about 80 cities around the world, kids, school kids from classes 5, 6, 7, 8, were all out there in thousands, in millions, appealing, pleading with global leaders to act and act quickly on climate change. So I'll round off by paraphrasing what Prime Minister Modi said, and like what millions of these kids have been saying for a while now, that the time for talk is over. The time for action is now. So these are going to be the two stories, the Trump-Imran-Modi triangle that's happening in New York, and of course the climate change question which 14-year-old kids are now raising at the United Nations. Those two are going to be our focus stories tonight at 9:25 p.m. on Brastax. This is Zaka Jacob signing off. For the rest of the news, you can always go to news18.com.
No debate, no bias, just the news. Brastax with Zaka Jacob.